So this is the basic framework of the law of karma. Okay, for now, let's keep it simple and just think that my mental disposition and my physical appearance and my inner feelings, my experiences, these are all, without exception, the results of my previous actions. So every action produces an effect, and my experiences are all effects caused by previous actions. From one point of view, that's it. From one point of view, it's very simple. And to start with, especially if we're new to these teachings on karma, just keep it simple. We can study in more depth. We can understand in more detail how this works. But the first and most important thing to learn, in my experience, is I am responsible for my experiences. I should not look beyond myself and blame others. If I want happiness in the future, I have to create the cause for happiness through my actions. And if I want to avoid suffering in the future, then I need to avoid actions that cause suffering. So what causes happiness? What causes suffering? Generally, we say good karma causes happiness, bad karma causes suffering. So there are different types of action. There are positive actions or virtuous actions. There are negative actions or non-virtuous actions. And there are neutral actions. So the law of karma said that, you know, karma is definite. If you engage in a positive action, body, speech, and mind, the result will be happiness in the future, some form of pleasant experience in the future. Every action leaves a potentiality in our mental continuum, or we can say in our subtle mental consciousness. And later, that potentiality will become, for example, if I engage in a positive action, later that potentiality will ripen as a pleasant experience. If I engage in a negative action, that action leaves a potentiality in my mind. And later, when I meet appropriate conditions, that will ripen as an unpleasant experience. So, pretty simple. Virtuous actions are the cause of happiness. Non-virtuous actions are the cause of suffering. In a very special text that Venerable Geshe-la wrote, he says, the cause, it's a verse within a long poem. He says, the cause of suffering is non-virtuous actions, and the cause of happiness is virtuous actions. Since this is completely true, I will abandon the first and practice the second. In this verse, if we understand the meaning of this verse, it teaches us the meaning of the law of karma, and it teaches us how to apply the law of karma in our daily life. So far, I haven't provided any proof for anything. I'm just saying what we as Buddhists understand and therefore believe, that the cause of suffering, whatever the form it takes, the cause of suffering is non-virtuous actions, obviously previously performed. The cause of happiness is virtuous actions. Since this is completely true, I will abandon the first and practice the second. Abandon, what does it mean? Abandon non-virtuous actions. What does it mean to abandon non-virtuous? Two things. One, stop in future. Don't do any more non-virtuous actions. Stop doing any action that's harmful to others. And the second is try to purify the mind of the effects of previous non-virtuous actions that we have committed. So we said every action leaves a potentiality in our mental continuum. And that doesn't go away. You can't stop that. Once it's there, it will remain there until it ripens, until it produces its effect. Not only that, it will increase in potency. That potentiality will increase in potency. So sometimes, you know, Buddha explained, somebody, a person engages in this action or that action, which is relatively minor, but because the effect quite considerable later on. You can read the story of the nun, Upala, for example, as an extreme example of how through just one small action of jealousy, relatively small, we may say, extraordinary effects ripened on this person in future lives. So unless we purify these seeds of non-virtue, or we could say the potential negative potentials in our mind, then that potential will remain there, it will grow in potency, and sooner or later, when the conditions are met, it will produce an unpleasant experience. I'm talking about negative karma here, obviously. We must know this. So how kind of Buddha to point this out? Because once the karma has ripened, it's too late. Nobody can do anything about karma that has ripened. Even Buddha can't do anything about that.